for coming, and thank you for your patience. I'm Lawrence Krauss. I'm the director of the ASU Origins Project, and on behalf of the Origins Project and ASU and our other co-sponsors, the J. Epstein Foundation and the Science Network and also the NASA Astrobiology Institute, I'd like to welcome you to the second of our great debates. We had one in the fall on the question of whether science can tell right from wrong. And this one, however, hits at the real heart of what Origins is all about. The question, which I think is going to come on the screen in a second, there we go, which is, what is life? And it's a profound question and a deep question. It hits at everything we're thinking about ourselves. And although it sounds like a simple question, the answer isn't so simple. And in fact, every time I think about that question, I think about pornography. And for many reasons. But the real reason I think of what Judge Potter Stewart said when he was asked about pornography in 1964 court case of the Supreme Court, he basically said, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. And in some sense, life is like that. We all think we understand what life is, but when you try and think about what it is, it's a little harder. I used to think it was kind of simple, and I thought, well, life is something that replicates and also uses energy from the outside and to constantly grow and replicate. And that sounds like a good definition until someone pointed out to me that, in fact, forest fires fulfill that definition. And certainly, if you look, they love to replicate, and in fact, they do all of the things that those two things in particular. They use energy, and in fact, the type of forest fire depends upon its antecedent, what is burned before. So it is a difficult question. It's one of the things I'm sure the panelists are going to talk about tonight, and we've been talking about it in the context, I should say, of a scientific workshop that the Origins Project has been supporting here with these gentlemen and a bunch of other scientists who've come in to discuss the question of what is life, how can we detect it elsewhere, or the earliest forms of life, an RNA world, all the things we'll talk about. Now, the big problem, of course, with life is this one, the famous question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. And part of the problem is that life is complex, and the molecules of life are very complex, and many arguments have been made that there were probably antecedents of life in different forms. And in fact, one of the forms we've talked about here has to do with something called an RNA world, which was actually an idea that was based on a discovery that Sidney Altman made and won the Nobel Prize for, in fact, that perhaps, as you may know, DNA is a double-stranded, double helix, and RNA isn't, and RNA is normally a messenger, but it was discovered that RNA could do much more. It could actually catalyze reactions, and perhaps there existed a precursor world to the DNA world that's been called the RNA world. Now, that is not at all clear yet, although many people in our meeting, and I'm sure Sid feels strongly about its existence, but other people have pointed out that maybe the other aspect of life that's not replication is metabolism, using energy. And maybe precursors to life may have used energy before they actually learned how to replicate. The process of metabolism, of taking stored energy and somehow utilizing it for the system, may have been the key first element of life, and it may be something that people talk about. Where life began, of course, is a big question. In the early Earth, this is a deep sea ocean vent where there's lots of energy, and probably the earliest forms of life began there. You may not know, but one of the things we just talked about is the fact that in the early Earth, there was no oxygen. Oxygen is a poison. Had there been oxygen in the early Earth, life never would have evolved, in fact, because it would have been oxidized. And so the earliest forms of life didn't use oxygen and probably existed in some other form. Now, the other thing that's strange about life, the oldest fossils on Earth, and that date keeps changing. We just had at our meeting evidence of the new oldest fossils on Earth, but are definitely at least 3.5 billion years old. Okay, and the thing that's strange about them is that the Earth, and they may go back as far as 3.9 billion years old, and the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old, except in Ohio and Arkansas and a few other places. But Yeah, okay, that always gets joked. But the thing that's important is the early Earth was being bombarded by asteroids, meteors that would in fact vaporize any early oceans. And the conditions on the Earth that might have been amenable to life wouldn't have settled down for several hundred million years. So it looks like life evolved on Earth about as early as it physically could have, which is amazing. And the question is there enough time for life to have evolved on Earth? And here, by the way, was a micrograph of something that caused a lot of interest a few years ago when some NASA scientists had claimed that, in fact, this is actually from a meteorite that was discovered in Antarctica, which is a meteorite from Mars. And those structures look to many people like that earliest fossil that I showed you. They're much smaller. And suddenly people thought maybe those were fossils of life on Mars. But the question has arisen that perhaps life began elsewhere, an idea that was first proposed by Francis Crick called panspermia, the idea that life arose elsewhere and actually came to Earth on meteors or in the basis of some comets. And that's another topic that may be discussed. And so whether life began on Earth or elsewhere is one question, but one thing we have discovered is that our solar system may have been reduced in size. It used to have 9 planets, now it has 8. But although Pluto will always be a planet to me. I agree. But we've now discovered over 500 planets around other stars. In fact, there's probably another 1,000 that are just being released or potential planets that have been discovered by the Kepler satellite. And so, in fact, these are artists' rendering of exoplanets, but in fact, we don't have to have artists' renderings anymore. Here's a picture of a star with 3 planets around it. We can actually begin to see these things. And, of course, the key question is not just did life in the solar system here arise here and somewhere else in the solar system, but is there life on any of those other planets? And we'll hear about that as well. Now, the other aspect of life is that in order to understand it, we may want to understand it by creating it. And Craig Venter's here. And I'm sure Craig, in fact, will in a matter of time be making a game that you can buy and on creating life. But it is remarkable that, in fact, the first synthetic genome is implanted, and Craig will talk about it probably, and is self-reproducing. And that's a sea change, in some sense, in our ability to understand the nature of life. The key questions are, you know, what's the smallest genome that could have all of the functions of life? And we'll probably find out by actually building it, I assume, and by doing experiments. Now, that raises lots of issues. And this is not Craig, it raises lots of fears, because the idea of creating artificial life leads us into the unknown. And the question is not only causes fear, but uncertainty, but that's in some sense what science is all about. But it may be that to truly understand what life is, to answer that question, we may need to create it. And I want to show Frankenstein here, not just because I like him, and especially when he blinks, because, you know, when Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, the idea is we learn, when she created the monster, we learned a lot about ourselves by seeing the monster, as well as learning about our fears and trying to overcome them. And to me, that's what is so exciting about this particular question and about what Origins is all about. It connects the very questions that are really at the heart of not just science, but the arts, and the questions that really you all asked since you were born. And so that's why I'm very, very excited that tonight we're going to be discussing that question, and that we have such a wonderful panel to discuss it. And now I'm going to turn things over to my partner in this, Roger Bingham from the Science Network, who will moderate the rest of the evening. Thank you.